Revelation chapter 17, verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth, and there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he, is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords, and King of kings. And they that are with him are called, and chosen, and faithful. And he saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are people, and the multitudes, and nations, and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city, which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Chapter 18, verse 1. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful birds. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partaker of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Verse 21. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. The Lord will bless the reading of his word. Mr. Parmentier.
Oh,
thank you. I thought today we would look at the two chapters together because, as you will have observed, in chapter 17, the main thrust of that chapter is to do with the woman and the beast. And when we come to chapter 18, it's the destruction or the fall of Babylon. But you will have noticed, of course, in your reading, that when you come to chapter 18, it says, and after these things. And again in chapter 19, verse 1, and after these things. So we can say that chapter 17, 18, and the first 10 verses of chapter 19 all belong together and form what we might call just one long parenthesis within the dealings of God in this book. So I thought today we'd have a look and see what chapter 17 has to say about the woman, and then about the fall of Babylon. And I doubt if we get into chapter 19, the response in heaven, where at the fall of Babylon, there was that great cry, hallelujah, hallelujah, and the judgments of God are righteous. So you'll notice then that in chapter 17, the emphasis is upon this woman. And the woman is seen sitting upon a beast. And later down in the chapter, we find she's sitting upon many waters. And so we find that we have presented to us in chapter 17, under the symbol of a woman, that great religious entity of Babylon, when Babylon will be rebuilt, and there will be that religious side to the Babylon of the future. Whereas in chapter 18 is more the commercial side of that same city, Babylon, for it's the merchants that cry, alas, alas, at the downfall of Babylon. And of course, chapter 19, the first 10 verses, is rejoicing in heaven that Babylon has been destroyed. Very interesting when you go back to chapter 14 and verse number 8, we read of Babylon there. And I take it that what we read in chapter 14, verse 8, regarding Babylon, the detail of that is now set out in chapter 17. Again, when we come to chapter 16 and verse number 19, we read of Babylon again. But this time, what we have in chapter 16, verse 19, the detail is now stated in chapter 18. And so we find that Babylon is mentioned in chapter 14, chapter 16, and again here in chapter 17 and chapter 18. I say that because, you see, there is a line of teaching, and many expositors take the line that Babylon in the book of the Revelation doesn't mean Babylon. It refers to Rome. And they change the word from Babylon to Rome, and look upon Rome as the city that has to be the empire that will be revived, and the head of that empire then is described here as the beast. Now, that may be so, but my mind is this. If the word Babylon is used four times in this one book, then I take it the Spirit of God means Babylon. And Babylon will yet be rebuilt, and it will become the capital of the last emperor of the last Gentile world power. So that seems to be the background to these chapters. So what we want to look at, first of all, is chapter 17. And we find a description in verses 1 and 2, or we might call it an introduction. And we're introduced, of course, to the beast and his dress. And we're introduced then to the woman and her dress. And we find that these two are closely linked together in chapter 17. Now, you will remember, won't you, that what we have in these two chapters is Babylon and its connection with the last 7 years of Daniel's 70th week. So we're still there. The church has been raptured. Every true believer has been taken to heaven. And the earth is left. And what we have in these two chapters will take place during that time, when the church is gone to glory, no believers are left upon the earth. And what we have then developed in the world would be what we read of here in chapter 17 under the term the woman. And so we find that chapter 17, really, that turns in at the midpoint of those 7 years, for she will be destroyed at that midpoint. Whereas chapter 18 brings us to the end of those 7 years, the final piece, when Babylon, the city, will be destroyed. But that will be linked, of course, with the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ in power and great glory. So we can expect that after the church is gone and there's no believers left in the world, there will develop in the world a religious system. And what will form this religious system? Well, you will remember, won't you, in the church at Laodicea, the Lord said, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Everything that is not of Christ, everything that only professed to be of Christ, that's left behind when the church is taken to glory, will then be developed into this, this system of religion that will find its centre in the Babylon of the future. And so we find that she's found sitting upon the beast. Now, you do know, of course, in chapter 13, we were introduced to the beast being brought up out of the sea, out from among the nations. And here we find this woman who represents the religious system that will develop in the world after the church is gone, will find its centre in Babylon that's yet to be built. That this system, here referred to as a woman, she's being controlled by, or rather supported by, supported by the beast, the last ruler of Gentile world power, will support this woman, this religious entity, during those first 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th week. And so during those 3.5 years, we find her hands become stained with the blood of saints and the martyrs of Jesus. And so this chapter brings before us what is going to develop into this religious system supported by the world of power of that day. And therefore, everyone that will not bow to her demands will be slain. And so her hand will be stained with the blood of saints and of the martyrs of Jesus. Now, we do see, of course, in this present time, in the religious world, we see the beginnings of what will develop into its finality here in chapter 17. For there is a great religious system actually abroad in the world today, professing to be something for Christ or something for God. But by their very activities and language, they're altogether mere professors. But what that professed religious system is on this present day will develop into this final religious system that will rule the nations of the world. And you notice the language is symbolic when it talks about fornications and abominations, because this woman representing the final religious system of the world, supported by the beast, and no doubt supporting him in his rise to his supremacy, that during those first 3.5 years, she will influence many nations with her idolatries. For I take it the whole idea of her fornications is this. It's the idolatries embraced by this woman. And now, because of her influence worldwide, her idolatries now affect the whole wide world. I say that because, you see, she's only seen sitting upon the beast at the opening of the chapter. This time she's seen sit upon many waters. And then those waters are described for us as being people and nations and tongues and multitudes. And so we find that this religious system of the end time will have a worldwide influence and will influence and affect the nations of the world and the rulers of the world. And that's where chapter 17 is setting out for us, that we might understand what we see today, which is mere profession by a religious system, will ultimately become this religious system of chapter 17 that will rule the world and be guilty of the of the blood of saints and the martyrs of Jesus. But in the purpose of God, we find that this beast of chapter 17, you will remember, it's the last Gentile world power is represented by the term the beast, and also its ruler, its last emperor, is represented by same term, the beast. But we do find that in the end times, during those first 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th week, there will be this power having risen up during those first 3.5 years. And we find that the beast will have as his kingdom the 10 kings who will give their power unto him. And ultimately, the kingdom of the beast will be but the kingdom of these 10 kings that have given their power unto him and their strength, and that for 1 hour, indicating to us the shortness of the time that will be involved in the end time. That's where we read of 40 and 2 months. The last 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th week is now described as just 1 hour. But we do notice what God is going to do with this religious system under the term of the woman, supported by the beast, influencing and corrupting the nations of the world and the kings of the earth. We find that God, in his righteous judgment, is going to judge what is here called the great whore. That word whore, you know, is used in the New Testament, and it has the idea of harlot. And here we have a great harlot, a religious system seen as a great harlot and seducing, you know, the kings of the world, the kings of the earth, and the nations of the world. But God's purpose is this, that she will not continue forever. And so we find that after the first 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th week, the 10 kings, they have one mind, not only to give their power to the beast, but to destroy this great harlot. And what a description there is of the final destruction of this religious system that will be in the world. It talks about stripping her naked, eating her flesh, burning her with fire. And so we do find that this religious system that will be prevalent in this last Gentile world power, that after 3.5 years of influence the whole world, God now has put into the mind of the 10 kings to hate the whore, to hate this harlot, and to strip her and to kill her, and to eat her flesh and burn her bones with fire. No, it's symbolic language. It just shows us that God is going to use the 10 kings that form the kingdom of the beast to destroy this religious power. But why? Because you may remember when we were in chapter 13 and the end of that chapter, with the destruction of this religious system, the beast is going to set up his own religion. Halfway through those 7 years, he's going to enter into the temple of God. He's going to set himself up as God. He's going to claim to be the sole and supreme object of worship. And all who do not worship the beast and his image shall be slain with the sword. So you see, in chapter 13, we have now the destruction of this final world system, a religious system linked with world power, because the world power of that end time, the last 3.5 years, will have its own religion, and only the worship of the beast and the worship of his image will be allowed. For those who refuse to worship his image will be slain with the sword. So you see, chapter 17 of this book, as he adds to its outworkings, really has its place in chapter 13, at the middle of the week, when this system is destroyed, that the beast can introduce his own religious system, and then another worldwide system, so that he must be worshipped, and that on pain of death. So that's really what chapter 17 is all about. We say, what about the beast who was, who is, and is to come? Well, I take it that refers back to chapter 13, when he was, as it were, slain with a sword. His body seemed to lay dead in the street, but his spirit seemed to have gone down, gone to the, what is called here, the bottomless pit, the abyss. And when he is restored back into his power, he comes out, a different person altogether. He's now the actual, what shall I say? He's actually the same man, but now moved by satanic power to accomplish what Satan thinks is his will and his purpose to for the world to worship him. So we find that these expressions in chapter 17, who was and is to come, is really referring to the head of this this last world empire, who whilst he was seemed to be slain with the sword, the spirit went down into the abyss, and he comes up now in, under the absolute and complete control of Satan. So we have satanic activity now in these last 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th week. But what about the city Babylon? Well, I take it that the beast will rebuild Babylon to be his cover city. Not only will it be the center of his worship, not only will it be the center of his own religion, it will actually be the center too of economic and what shall we say, the activities of business people throughout the world. And so it will not only be a center of religion, it will be the center of commerce and the center whereby all men, if they want to do business in this world, it will be done through the man who's now set up his kingdom or his capital in Babylon. That's why it says in chapter 13, the end of that chapter, all who will not receive his mark or his name, they cannot buy nor sell. And so we find with the destruction of that world religion in the middle of the week and the setting up of the of satanic form of worship in those last 3.5 years of that 70th week, there will also be the commercial activities of a world with the beast in Babylon. And so we find chapter 18. It actually describes for us the same Babylon, but not now from its religious standpoint, rather from its commercial standpoint. And so we find the kings of the earth, the merchantmen of the earth, when God puts into the heart not only to destroy the woman, the religious element, but when God ultimately judges Babylon itself, for that's what chapter 18 is all about. Babylon is fallen. Babylon is fallen. It means God, in his righteous judgment, is going to destroy the city Babylon, which has become the commercial center of the last Gentile world power that this world will see. And so we find when God, when this happens, when this is so, that Babylon is destroyed under the judgment of God, that the merchantmen of the earth, they will cry, alas, alas. And so it will be that what is yet to be in the world, whether religious or commercial, God has his eye upon it all. He used 10 kings. He will put into their hearts to destroy the religious side of Babylon, while he himself will destroy the commercial side of Babylon by destroying the city altogether. And so we find that from chapters 17 and 18, where Babylon is the central theme, whether from its religious standpoint or its commercial standpoint, ultimately it's going to be removed out of this world altogether. And as a result, there will be rejoicing in heaven at the fall of Babylon, this great city. Now, what we see in the world in which we live, we see a religious element throughout the world, altogether, without any semblance of reality as far as God is concerned. It's just a great religious movement in the world. And when the church is taken, that will religious movement in the world of the present time will increase and increase and increase during that period after the church is gone, right through to the middle of Daniel's 70th week. Then God will destroy it. And there will only be one religion in the world, the religion of the beast. And then ultimately, that which will be the capital city of the beast in the end time, through whom all commerce will be conducted, all that's going to be brought to a conclusion, and that by the righteous judgments of God. And although the merchantmen of the world may cry, alas, alas, heaven itself will be rejoicing that at last Babylon is fallen. No more religion and no more commerce associated with that city. It's altogether judged of God and never to be raised again. Babylon, of course, at the present, is not very much in Iraq, but it will be rebuilt, and it will be a city of commerce, will be a city of religion. It will be a powerful city in the world of the end time. For let me remind you, we're talking about those last 7 years of Daniel's 70 weeks, which are yet to be fulfilled, and ultimately will be in glory, when all these things contained in these two chapters will take place here upon the earth. And what a world it will be, with no restraint and with no restrainer. Just the will of the beast being done in the world until the will of God and the word of God be fulfilled. And Babylon will be no more. Hence in chapter 19, we have the introduction, of course, of the Lord coming out from heaven. What for? To set up his kingdom. We call it the millennial kingdom. His kingdom which will stretch from shore to shore, from sea to sea. And that for 1,000 years, in a literal sense. And so we'll leave that for another time. And next week we'll have a look at chapter 19, the rejoicing in heaven and the return to earth of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he rise out of heaven upon a white horse. Now I trust that that's been a little help in understanding these two chapters, all to do with Babylon of the future. Thank you.